Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you can hear our film critic Dan Hudak preview the Mandel JCC's 25th Donald Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival with Ellen Wedner, as well as Chef Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar featuring Deborah Margol. Now, our classical arts contributor Charles Greenfield reveals the 2015 Miami City Ballet's performance schedule with their artistic director, Ms. Lourdes Lopez.
Artistic director Lourdes Lopez continues her outstanding work with the Miami City Ballet with three exciting programs for 2015. After a sold-out series this past December, performances of the Balanchine Tchaikovsky Nutcracker at the Arts Center, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, and the Kravis Center in Palm Beach, Lourdes Lopez and the Miami City Ballet offer three themes for the rest of the season. Program 2, Hear the Dance, starts in January. Program 3, Passion and Grace, starts February. And Program 4, Points of Departure, starts in March. Program 2 starts tonight at the Arts Center with Twyla Tharp's 9 Sinatra Songs, a Miami City Ballet audience favorite, Paul Taylor's Mercuric Tidings with music by Schubert, and Balanchine's Symphony in 3 Movements with music by Stravinsky. Program 3 at the Arsht in February features Balanchine's renowned Allegro Brillante with music by Tchaikovsky, Tharp's Sweet Fields based on Shaker hymns sung a cappella, and choreographer Richard Alston's version of Bizet's Carmen, which Alston has said, quote, looks like Miami with a slightly Art Deco detail on the wings. And program 4 starts with the world premiere of Heartscape by the young, talented choreographer Justin Peck, with design by artist Shepard Ferry, and ends with The Concert by the great choreographer Jerome Robbins. Recently, I had the opportunity to speak with Lourdes Lopez about the Miami City Ballet and their continuing 2015 performance series. Lourdes Lopez, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It is wonderful to be here with you, Charles, again.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about the Nutcracker, because we just had apparently sold-out performances of the Nutcracker. Yeah. Tell us where, when, and how it went.
It went actually very well. I'm not sure the dancers want to talk about Nutcracker, because we did something like 25 performances.
Good goodness.
No, it's a wonderful time of year to perform it, and it's a ballet that just never, ever grows old. The music, the story, the choreography, as you know, we do George Balanchine's version, and we had tremendous success everywhere we went with it, and we hope to do it for many, many years to come.
Three venues.
We did at the Arsht, at the Broward Performing Arts Center, and at the Kravis Center.
And the costumes, what were they like?
The costumes are the costumes that we've always used. They're based on the Balanchine production, and they're just beautiful. We have the mice, the tree that grows, the Mother Commedia, the Polichinelles, the party scene with the grandparents, the dolls that come to life. I mean, it's just magical. It is magical. Magical. It always works.
The kids probably were besides themselves.
Yes, both on the stage and off the stage.
Well, here we are starting program 2, because there's a program 2, 3, and 4 for 2015. The title of the show is Hear the Dance. Where did that come from?
It came from the fact that the three works that are going on for that program, which are Mercuric Tidings by Paul Taylor, Symphony in 3 Movements by George Balanchine, and 9 Sinatra Songs by Twyla Tharp, were created and inspired specifically for the music. In other words, there were direct inspiration. The choreographers got their direct inspiration from the composition. So, for example, Symphony in 3 Movements, the composer is Igor Stravinsky. He wrote this in the mid-1940s, and he was inspired by the end of World War II. So you hear the percussion, you hear the kind of the rhythmic, the marching, the beat in it, and it's thrusting and it's jet propelled. And you see this in the choreography as well. The same thing with 9 Sinatra Songs. It's obviously all the songs that old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, would sing, the melodies, you know, Leaving You Softly, Strangers in the Night, those beautiful romantic songs that he sang. And her response is social dancing. So you have 9 separate couples that have different relationships that all have to do with love. You know, the mature love, the naive love, the not so nice love. And then finally, we have Mercuric Tidings. The composer is Schubert, and it's Paul Taylor's reaction to Schubert. The piece is very cinematic in scope. It's big, it's bold, it feels like you're in front of this Panavision or Panasonic screen. And that's what the work is: tremendous energy, vibrant, bold, fast, very much alive.
I'm thinking in the songs, the nine Sinatra songs, that Sinatra himself, when he sang, was extremely careful about phrasing, about the end of each line. And I'm thinking, what does she do about the words themselves, where you come from the end of one line to the next? Is that translated into dance?
I don't know if there's that direct translation to the text. There is a direct translation in terms of the feeling of the pas de deux to the lyrics in the works. And you see that in, especially, you know, One for the Road and the other ones, My Way. You know that those dance characters, even though it's not a direct narrative, that they are picking up, or she has chosen steps and moods that are directly influenced by the words.
So legato, staccato.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you'll get that.
And personalities, and the personalities and the costumes. It's a direct inspiration.
Well, after part two, you have program number three, which comes in February. And I might just add that the first program, which is January 9th, which is this Friday,
yes,
and ends, I believe, on the 25th of January at Kravis Center.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And then in February, we move over to another type of genre, which would be Passion and Grace. What did that name come from?
Well, I blame the marketing, no. Passion and Grace is because we have Allegro Brillante, George Balanchine's Allegro Brillante, which is to Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto, and actually the unfinished Piano Concerto. He only did the first movement, and he passed away and never completed it. And then we have Sweet Fields by Twyla Tharp again, and that's to Walter Billings' 18th century Shaker hymn. So it's all sung a cappella, and it's just beautiful. It's a heavenly piece. It's a celestial piece. It's also a very sophisticated piece with costumes by Norma Kamali. And there's a real sense of community. There's a real sense of ownership. There's a real sense that the dancers are dancing with each other and for each other. And I just thought it was really a wonderful, very different work for Miami City Ballet, because the company is has such a familial feeling to it. We are such a strong and fun community. And then the last piece is Carmen, Bizet's Carmen, to the Schedrin score. And the choreographer is Richard Alston. And it is a modern telling of the Carmen story.
So we're not in the cigarette factory anymore?
You are, but you're not going to really be able to tell. No, what I love about it is that it's neoclassical vocabulary. So he tells the story in 50 minutes in one act. And you have abstract setting, but the classical costumes. It's just extraordinary. It really is. I've really seen a Carmen. I've really seen a choreographer really, truly bring that Carmen to life the way Richard Alston has.
Does he emphasize certain famous parts of Carmen?
Oh, sure. Toreador, the aria, all of that. And it's in 15 minutes with all the characters, the fortune teller, Carmen, Don Jose, the matador. It's wonderful. And it's also a work that not only artistically is at a very high level, there no company in the United States has performed the Carmen. We're the only ones. It's only been seen in Europe. We're the only ones he's allowed to do it. So not only artistically is it a work of value, but for our dancers, it's something that our dancers and our community can really grab a hold of. They get it. They understand it. It's in their blood. So it'll be wonderful. And it's a very exciting program, that third one.
It certainly is. You said classical costuming. What do you mean by that?
Meaning you have the matador costumes. You have the skirts with the ruffles. They're not modern. They're actually, they're classical. The colors, the cut, they look like Spanish costumes.
Now, those shows will be in February, of course, starting Friday, February 13th through, I believe, March 1st, ending at the Kravis Center.
Yes.
Right. And then program four, Points of Departure. Again, the title, Points of Departure.
Points of Departure really has to do with Justin Peck's new commission for Miami City Ballet, which is really where dance, where ballet specifically, I shouldn't say dance, where ballet specifically can go, should go, is going. And what I love about this program for is that for those individuals who think of ballet as one thing, meaning tutus and tiaras and pink tights and pointe shoes, they're going to get a huge surprise because we do open with that. We open with Balanchine's Raymonda to Glazunov's gorgeous, gorgeous music. And it's tutus and it's tights and, you know, everything you would want to have in a, you know, in a ballet performance. And then we have Jerome Robbins' The Concert, which is a comedic masterpiece. It is to Chopin's music, and he actually makes fun of what happens in individuals' minds when they're going to, you know, the imaginings, their subconscious going wild when they go to watch a performance. And it is hysterical. It is really, truly one of the funniest pieces of dance work historically ever. And I know that whoever goes to see it, I'm sure that they're going to leave the theater cackling. I mean, when I used to dance it, I would actually hear the audience out loud from the stage just roaring with laughter. And then after that, we have Justin Peck's new commission, which is to Martin Hughes' Piano Concerto No. 1. He collaborated with the street artist Shepard Fairey. So for me, it's dance in the 21st century. And it all, the beauty of this program is that all three works are different stages, different parts, but they all come from the classical vocabulary, which is hundreds and hundreds of years old.
And very quickly, the dates on this will be?
We open the program for at the Arsht on April 10th.
We can always go to the
Go to the MiamiCityBallet.org, and they'll have all the dates there, or you can just call our box office, which is 305-929-7000.
Well, I want to just tell you that it sounds so exciting, and I know you're off to New York, I believe, and also to...
Yes, it's a very exciting year for Miami City Ballet. We, on January 18th and 19th, we've been invited to perform at the Guggenheim, for a part of their Works and Process series, and we'll be bringing five of our dancers, along with Justin Peck and Shepard Fairey, to talk about the new commission. And then we've been invited to Vancouver and Ottawa in February and March, respectively, and we'll be doing all of our rep there from the Balanchine works that we do, plus Carmen, plus the symphonic dances, which we did last year. So we're very excited about this international tour.
Well, it sounds so much fun, and I think our listeners need to keep their dance shoes on, and I want to thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Miami City Ballet makes going to great dance performances easy and affordable for concert goers with three locations from Miami's Arts Center, Broward's Center for the Performing Arts, and Palm Beach's Kravis Center. For ticket information, contact toll-free at 877-929-7010 or 305-929-7010 and purchase online at MiamiCityBallet.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment.